Hi, and welcome to the Hidden Stories podcast, where you can discover the secrets of bringing joy and change and growth into your life from some amazing people. Everyone has an outward story, but there's usually a lot more going on beneath the surface. So this podcast is an opportunity for you to discover insight from a range of people who are really serious about reaching their potential in life. Each episode features Sue Irwin, lead pastor of the Granary Church, talking with someone she really admires. So listen closely, because you might just find exactly what you're looking for. Join us as we uncover some hidden stories.
Hi, and welcome to the podcast. I'm so glad you joined me today. I know you're going to really love today's guest. It's Tammy Comer. I met Tammy several years ago now in Portland in Oregon in the United States. And since then, I've had the privilege of getting to know her. I've discovered that Tammy is a woman of great integrity and influence. She's someone that people admire. She is strong, even in the midst of hard times, which is why I really wanted to talk to her today. Because I believe that as you listen to Tammy, you're going to find some things that are true about all of us, really. And sometimes we don't stop to even notice them. And once you see these things that she is talking about, I believe when you put them into practice, it's going to change your life. So Tammy is the wife of John Mark Comer, who's the lead pastor of Bridgetown Church in Portland, Oregon. They have three delightful children, Jude, Moses, and Sunday, who are highly creative and a lot of fun. So Tammy, welcome.
Thank you.
It's nice to hear you again, because the last time was you were here for Brave Conference in Newcastle. Mm-hmm. And who would have thought then that we would be talking during a pandemic? It's bizarre.
Oh, yeah.
It's a really weird situation. So how are you guys coping in Portland?
Oh, I think as good as you can cope during a pandemic. Gosh, I mean, it's been a very weird experience, very different to have the kids home from school and homeschooling and John Mark working from home. And but, you know, I'm grateful that everyone's healthy and the kids are, I do think there has been, it's been kind of fun to have the kids home after we got over the shock of homeschool. But, but yeah, you know, we're hanging in there.
That's been one of the biggest learning curves here, homeschooling.
Mm-hmm. Like
some people love it and some people are really struggling with it. And I think it's depends on the learning style of your children. Your children are really mm-hmm. creative, so they're probably feeling free.
Yeah.
They can explore so many different areas.
Yeah, it's been interesting because I think John Mark is feeling the weight of, you know, the responsibility more broad spectrum for the church and culture at large and the impact that this will have on the economy. But our kids, like in our home, have actually become, you know, are really coming alive creatively. I feel like there's been like real beautiful things to celebrate in our kids mm-hmm. in this season, even though there's been other things that we've had to grieve.
Yeah.
More broad spectrum. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So just, you know, it's people are posting, some people say, talk about getting back to normal. And others people mm-hmm. say, I hope we never actually get back to normal. What we were before, mm-hmm. because there's things that we need to gain out of this time. And mm-hmm. things that I believe God wants to do in this time in all of us. And even if it feels hard, because as you mentioned, there is a grief through all of this.
Well, I think, you know, as I've been, you know, I've been kind of praying and asking the Spirit to kind of show me even just what to talk to you about and like what's on my heart for what people would are struggling with. And I kind of feel like primarily the issue is a feeling of relinquishing control. Mm-hmm. And what do you do when you're kind of fearful? I mean, mm-hmm. not kind of, but totally fearful.
Yeah.
And what is God's peace that he talks about in the scripture, the peace that passes understanding, yeah. that guards our heart and minds in Christ Jesus? What does it look like to lean into that in a time of so much uncertainty and where you kind of feel like some of, I think at least for me, I think it's really natural for us to live our lives just assuming that tomorrow will be like today.
Yeah.
And that we're entitled to the life that we're living because we've always lived it.
Yeah.
And so I think this pandemic has really kind of brought to the surface this reality that we don't have the same control that we thought we had, and the entitlement that we thought we had to the lifestyle, to the life, to the health, to all of it. There's this entitlement I don't even think most of us realize we're living with, that I think is being stripped away. And if we are able to learn from it, I think it could be a beautiful thing where we replace entitlement with gratitude, and yeah, we replace anxiety and fear with peace from God. But I think there's an intentionality around choosing that direction and leaning into that, because I think the natural human response is anxiety and is fear, and the natural human emotional response around, you know, our lifestyle and our life is entitlement. I mean, you see that in children. I see that in my own kids, you know. You think this is my life. Like, I should be able to go out. I should be able to go eat. I should be able to see my friends. I should be able to go out and not worry about dying or getting COVID. But now all of a sudden we are very aware, like, oh wow, we don't have the same freedoms that we thought we did. We don't have the same assurance of life that we thought we had, you know?
And you see that with the stockpiling of food and toilet paper, and like, I've got to look after myself first, because no one will look after me, as that fear is there. So you, though, it's, even though it's a wrestle, I just know from talking to you that God's really prepared you for this. Like, I was talking to someone the other day who's living alone, and but she was divorced quite a few years ago, and she said she's been through her time of grief about being alone, and she's learnt to find Jesus in her alone, in her alone times, and she's thriving because she's spending time with Jesus, and she's loving other people, and she's joyful. So often some of the bad things we go through, God is actually preparing us and teaching us something really beautiful, not, you know. So what would you say is your story, Tammy, that's prepared you, because God is teaching you peace in this?
I was thinking about that. So as you know, Sue, and I talked about this when I was at your church last year, but I've had, you know, chronic health issues for a lot of my life. But then in the last few years, the last four actually, it's been more acute. And I'm really processing through this and trying to think, like, when was it that I feel like I kind of had basically like a moment. There was like a before and the moment, and then there was an after. And for me, that came about a year ago. And what it looked like for me was my doctor had, so long story short, just background, about 4 years ago, my body just started kind of going crazy neurologically. And I've had, you know, a bazillion tests, and a lot of it stems, I think, from having Lyme disease as a kid that went undiagnosed for a lot of years. And but I've had complications since then. And so anyway, about a year ago, my doctor had sent me to a specialist. And this specialist worked in the neurology department, and he took a look at me, ran a bunch of tests, and basically called me into his office, and he, you know, he sat me down and he said, I think that what could be going on with you is a form of a specific kind of movement disorder. And this is what it's called. And he said, and you're going to go home and you're going to look it up. And when you look it up, it's going to totally freak you out. And, but you know, he said, there's a good chance it'll never progress. You know, we just don't know. And, you know, I'd like to see you again. So anyway, I was thinking at the time, it had been about 3 years since I'd been having these neurological issues. I felt like I'd come to some peace with that. I'd kind of come to like a maintaining of mediocre as far as like lifestyle and physicality. I kind of was learning my limitations. I wasn't as bad as I was in the beginning. I wasn't as fearful around my symptoms because they felt more stable. But then I went home and I Googled what this doctor had said, and it totally devastated me. It was the most disturbing and upsetting thing ever. Honestly, it was like, I remember I watched a video on it. I researched it through the government websites, you know, and like understanding it. And then I fell asleep for 2 hours. And my husband was traveling at the time, and he called me and he said, "Tammy, can you tell me like what is happening? What this, you know, specialist say? What is he saying?" And I said, "I'm not telling you, not till you come home. I have to tell you in person. I don't want you looking this up on the internet." And long story short, the diagnosis was literally, if you could tailor make my worst nightmare, that is what this disease was. It was where neurologically, I have spasms in my face. So most of the time people can't see them unless they're really flared up. And in that case, usually it doesn't look horrible. I mean, it can be a little disconcerting if you're close to me, but generally speaking, most people can't see it. But what had happened was about 3 years ago when I first started having neurological issues, it progressed really quickly and it got really intense to where I couldn't control the muscles in my eyes, and they were squinting and closing, and it looked really weird. It was starting to look weird when I was flared up, and then it was starting to move down my face and go into my mouth. And I remember having this moment with my community group. I had a terrible migraine. My face was spasming, the worst it ever had. And I remember saying to them, how quickly this is progressing. I can't even imagine what is this going to turn into? Like, how much worse could this possibly get? And in hindsight, you know, 3 years later, being at this appointment and figuring out what this thing was, I thought, this is could get way worse. Like, I mean, oh my goodness. And on that night, when I talked to my community, they had all laid hands on me and they prayed for me. And it was like, it was actually, I remember crying out to the Lord and saying, like, please, please, anything but my face, like, take my hair, take my legs, like, I could do a wheelchair. I can't, like, to lose the ability to engage with people with your face just feels like would be such a grave loss to me, because I'm so relational.
Yeah.
And that night was actually the worst that my spasms ever got. Well, three years later, I remember after having, you know, this kind of diagnosis on the table, I have this vivid memory of sitting on my back porch. And I'd been processing it, you know, I'd talked to my husband, and I remember saying to him, "Babe, like, me and Jesus, we talked about this. Like, this was like the one thing I said I was not cool with, you know, like, I trust you, Lord, but like, this is like a lot, you know." And I was wrestling with Jesus for this. I was upset. I was angry. I was disappointed. I was so fearful, because it was like, you know, they had everything I was reading was saying you have a 50% chance of it progressing in your lifetime. So yes, it could remain stable, or you could look totally crazy, like be hard, you know, like it's at its pinnacle. It is a gnarly movement disorder that cripples your face. I mean, it would make it hard to talk, hard to eat, hard to kiss your husband, hard to talk to your children, hard to go anywhere in public without being pointed at. And I have this vivid memory of sitting on my back deck. I'd been wrestling with God. This was probably a month after I'd talked to that specialist. And I had gone to the hospital for two other tests. One was a mammogram on Monday, and then that day was a Tuesday, and I'd gone for another test at the hospital that morning. And I remember I got this phone call. And it was a hospital, and they said, "We need you to come in because we found something abnormal in your test. And I said, I was already there this morning, you know. I think you're mistaken. And they said, no, I'm so sorry, but your mammograms come back abnormal. Mm. And I thought, you have got to be kidding me. Mm. Like, breast cancer runs terribly in my mom's side of the family. And I remember I hung up the phone and I just started bawling. And I was by myself on the back deck, called my sister-in-law and just said, can you pray for me? She's someone who had suffered a lot, lost her daughter, knew grief, and she prayed for me. And I was reminded that morning in my quiet time, I had really specifically felt like the Spirit spoke to me, the scripture, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled and don't be afraid. And I was reminded in that moment of like this like peace that he'd given to me. He'd offered it to me that morning. And I remember after I cried for about 20 minutes, I took a deep breath. And I feel like in that moment, I relinquished control. And it was like, I think I had wrestled for that whole month of wrestling with this neurological disorder, like, Lord, please, like, don't let that happen. Let's just like, you know, fight it out. And then it was like this other thing on top of it. Now I don't have breast cancer as far as I can tell, like, God willing, I'm being watched or whatever, but I mean, I don't think it's totally
that's good.
I mean,
that's really good.
Yep. Well, I mean, I haven't been cleared, but I haven't been, you know, given that either. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it was in that moment that I felt like it was all too much to carry. Mm. It was like, there's too much here. Like, I can't. I literally can't carry this. And when I chose to relinquish that burden to Jesus and chose to lean on him, I actually remember in my mind that I had this picture of me leaning on Jesus's chest when I felt like the Spirit spoke that scripture to me of my peace I give to you. And I just felt like all of a sudden I had joy again. I had peace again. And from then on, I have had so much more peace. And that has been, I feel like it was in that moment. It was almost like where I realized, wow, I don't have control. And what control I thought I had, I actually never had, you know? I think John Mark told me once that I think we have statistically like 15% of the control that we think we have over our lives.
Yes.
I love, there's a scripture that I love, and it's just this one line where it says, he removed our shoulder from the burden, and just this idea that God removes us from carrying it. And the thing with, I think with COVID right now, is that everybody's kind of in the same boat. Like, all of a sudden we don't have control, and the burden isn't going anywhere. I mean, this is a burden that we all carry. It's this heaviness, it's sad, it's intense. But if we allow him to remove the burden from our shoulder, he becomes the one who carries it instead of us. And all of a sudden the weight is lifted, and there's a relinquishing of the need to control and a relinquishing of the entitlement we thought we deserved, and rather a gratitude for life and an awareness of God's, you know, peace in the midst of it.
Yeah. It's just, that's honestly, Tammy, it's a really powerful story there. It's like there's a hidden story. Your outer story is you had a bad diagnosis, but the inner story is the really powerful story, what God's taken you through, but what you've allowed God to take you through. Because, you know, when you said in your quiet time that morning, he spoke to you personally. And all of us relate to fear and being out of control. As John Mark says, we have 15% said, basically we all live under the illusion of control. We think, you know, that we are in control because we have a job or we have a house or, we have health, but mm-hmm. we actually didn't create any of that. It's like, can be gone in a second, like we've all discovered at the moment. So, mm-hmm. so just want to understand how your quiet time, God spoke to you personally. Mm-hmm. So you're in the middle of this huge fear and problems, but mm-hmm. it shows you that he still cares for you. And mm-hmm. how do you relate to the, how does it affect you to know that you, he knew that you were about to go through this? And mm-hmm. when you're going through that, you think, well, does he still love me? But he still loves you. How do you wrestle with those two things? Like, I'm going through this dreadful time, but I still know that he loves me and I choose to put my faith in him.
Mm. Yeah, I think for me, a lot of it came down to like a stripping away of, I think when I got saved when I was younger, I always thought, you know, it was kind of like, if you're a good girl, you're going to have a good life.
Yeah.
And then you feel kind of, you know, like, well, you're not keeping up your part of the bargain, Lord. Like if I was good and, you know, that, but it didn't work out that way. But I think sometimes when hard things happen, it's like the prosperity gospel gone bad. It's like that, but then you read the gospels. That's what's so comforting about the scriptures. You read the gospels and the disciples didn't not have easy lives, but they had meaningful lives. They had yeah. full lives. Mm. And God meets them. Jesus meets them in their time of need. He shows so much compassion to people who are suffering in the gospels. And playing with, what am I here for? Like, what's the meaning of my life? Like, I loved Viktor Frankl's book, The Man's Search for Meaning. Just that, like, life with meaning is so purposeful. The worst is, doesn't have to steal your joy because you still have purpose, and God is still delighted by that. Mm-hmm. And I feel like when I was thinking about this, I was actually really praying about it before I connected with you, Sue, but I was like thinking through, like, what is peace? Like, what is God's peace that passes understanding? And like, what is it that we're leaning into? And I feel like peace is something that we have to lean into. And I loved that the picture in my devotions was me actually like leaning on Jesus' chest. But it's a conscious choice to let the inner part of our person rest regardless of what our outer person is experiencing. Mm. And that peace isn't based on our circumstances, but it's rather an intentional leaning into the person and character of God. And I feel like the Gospels, when you really sit in the Gospels of Jesus and you learn the character of Jesus and how he meets people in their sadness and their struggle, it's so much easier to trust him because he doesn't ever promise that he'll give you an easy life, but if you will walk with him, you can have a joy-filled, wonderfully meaningful, full life, even if your life doesn't look the way that you'd always assumed it would or that you hoped it would.
Mm. Do you think that the biggest wrestle in all of that is giving up that sense of entitlement, which we can sometimes be taught as followers of Jesus, that the thing is, he's won everything for us on the cross. And sometimes we translate that to, so if I jump up and down enough, I'll get everything I want. Mm-hmm. But he actually wants more for us than we want for ourselves. And so do you think your biggest wrestle in that was to give up that sense of entitlement and totally trust in the goodness of God? Not just to trust in the goodness of God when you see getting what you want, but trusting in the goodness of God regardless. Like the Apostle Paul says, to rejoice in the Lord always, in everything, give thanks. Do you think that was your biggest wrestle?
I think that in combination with, you know, there was just, for me, it was just a lot of grief when I realized that you know, that my, that aging may be a complicated situation for me, and that the burden that that would put on my family, specifically my husband.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think that aspect of, yes, entitlement, but also like a control aspect, mm-hmm. you know, like I always imagined I would age a certain way. I thought, you know, if I work out and I eat right and take care of myself, I'm just going to be able to hold my own. And I mean, I feel like there is a humbling that happens when you realize that life is a gift. There's so much to delight in, and God is trustworthy. And it's not, he's not trustworthy because my life is perfect or good, but he's good and he sees me in it, and I'm never going to be alone in it. So I do think the entitlement piece was a big piece, but I think control for me was a big piece, just because of the domino effect of my health affecting my family, and just having to say, well, I'll do what I can. And I'm actually in a good season right now of the best health I've been in a long time, which is a gift, but my spasms aren't gone, you know? So it's like, mm-hmm. there's this reminder of every time I'm flared up that, where my face starts being a bit weird, that this could progress. But then I have this peace that passes understanding, where I just don't feel the same attachment to my life having to look a certain way in order to have joy in it. Now, granted, if this thing ever progressed and I was really faced with that, I think I would have to revisit acceptance and wrestling with God all over again, because I think that that is something we have to do over and over. It's different yeah. as circumstances in our life change.
It's a daily thing, really, you know? Isn't it?
Mm. Yeah, totally.
So, you know, here you are. You're the same person. Your situation hasn't changed, mm-hmm. but you've gone from someone who's been controlled by fear to now being living in the realm of peace. How do you think that's affected when you look back to in those days where you went through that dreadful fear? Can you mm-hmm. see the difference in your home and in your life, your role as a mother and a wife, how it's changed, even though your circumstances haven't changed? Do you want to talk about that?
Oh, yeah. Sure. I mean, yeah, it's monumental, I think. I think when you have something that you have to wrestle with, it's healthy to wrestle with yeah. that. I do think that is like a healthy, we see that in the Psalms. We see David, you know, wrestling with God over, you know, when he and Bathsheba, you know, have an affair and she has a baby with him. And the baby dies, and he's wrestling with God, asking God to spare the baby's life. And then the baby dies, and it's a very sad thing, but he gets up, he washes his face, and he's able to accept it and move on. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there's, for me, I feel like there was a season of wrestling with God, of anxiety, of, you know, moments where I had these like really tender, sad moments of, I mean, my husband was traveling a lot during the worst part of my neurological flare-up, and it was very scary. And I remember at one point taking Jude, my son, who at the time was about probably 11, maybe 10, and pulling him aside and saying, saying, "What do you think's going on here, buddy? And like, what do you see?" And he said, "I know that you're having health problems and that you and Dad are hiding it from me." And mm-hmm. I was like devastated that he would feel out of the loop. Yeah. And he said, "I really want to know what's actually going on." And I said, "Okay." So I talked to him. I just said, "You know, we don't know what's going on. That's why we're doing a lot of these tests, but I'm trying to do what I can." And then I said, "And with your dad gone, if you come into the bedroom and you find that you can't wake me, you need to call 911. Like this is, and these like sobering
yeah.
effects. And I just remember he curled up in a little ball on my lap and he said, "Can I just cuddle you for a bit?" And then he like, you know, and I was just like, "Of course." And then he kind of rose to the occasion. He got up And it was like he took on this mantle of like the man of the house for the season.
Wow, what a beautiful boy.
Yeah, I mean, he really is just a sweetheart and an exceptionally, you know, lovely kid. And, you know, I think my husband and I, we became closer because of it. It was like there was this awareness that the things that we fought about or the things that felt really like, you know, that rub you wrong about yourself, all of a sudden those things don't seem like such a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an intimacy that we were sharing around things that were so humiliating for me, because a lot of my issues felt humiliating. It was like, so I think it's greatly given me, like, doing the wrestling, then grieving, then acceptance, then, you know, vulnerability with my husband, vulnerability with my kids, even just vulnerability with you in this podcast. Like, most people don't know my story, but I feel like honored to be able to share that God is so present.
Yeah.
And I have like I think in a lot of ways it's a gift that I've gone through this, because I'm so aware that every day that my face looks normal, that I'm able to engage with people, with my kids, with my husband, that I have a sharper mind, that I have energy. I'm so aware that that's a gift. Like, I'm definitely don't have the entitlement that I had when I was younger. You know, I feel very grateful for the life I get to live, and I recognize it as a gift from God. And like, gifts are just that. It's not, it's a gift. It's not something I earned. I feel freed from the, I don't think God ever, he doesn't owe me anything.
Yeah.
You know, my life is gift, and I'm like acutely aware of that. So in some ways, I think honestly, my health stuff changed everything for me and for my family. And is it something I would choose? No way. Of course not. But is it something that God has redeemed for good and for character? And for a more meaningful life? Absolutely.
It's like, you know, the story of Job, when Satan says to God, he only praises you because you give him what he wants. You know, that's that sense of entitlement. He gets what he feels he's entitled to. And then when he loses it, that journey goes on to the point of absolute surrender and just seeing God and acknowledging his greatness. And that's actually when double blessing flows into his life. But to get to that point, you've got to wrestle. As you said, it's like you can listen to sermons, you can read your Bible, you can sing worship songs, but in the end, there's got to be that quiet time where it's just you and God, and you wrestle. And when you wrestle with it, even to believe that God is good, you've probably had to do that, to ask yourself, are you good and do you love me? And to get yourself right through to the point where you rest on those truths, he is good and he loves you. And suddenly you learn what it means to really die to yourself, and his blessing starts to flood through. And I think that's powerful, Tammy. I felt like, as I've been praying about this pandemic and for our church, what God wants to teach us, and it's just that, to know Jesus from the depth of our being. Like you said right at the start, you were having a quiet time and you heard God speak to you. And I really believe that's what he wants for all of us, to actually to be able to hear his voice speaking to us personally, not a general word, but one that goes right to the very, very depth of our soul, so that he knows that we know that we're on a journey that he's really involved in. If we could just have the eyes of our hearts opened. Love that verse in Ephesians, open the eyes of our hearts.
Yeah.
So that is powerful. I think it'd be great for anyone who's listening just to pray that prayer, that the eyes of our hearts would be opened, that we can actually see him and know him and enjoy him in the middle of this, and to know that he redeems, as you said, he redeems all things. So what would you say to anyone who's listening, who's battling with fear of anything? How would you sum it up in a nutshell?
I would say, if I could encourage you in anything, to bring your fears honestly before God, and meet him there. And I would say that remember, just like that scripture that I felt like he spoke over me, that his peace that passes understanding would guard your heart and your mind. You know, that's actually, I mean, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled and don't be afraid. And how there's this like call to actively lean into and intentionally put yourself toward that peace, like lean into that peace, lay your fears at his feet, recognize that he sees you, that the fears don't have to be gone, but that they're relinquished before God, and that there is a peace, like he says, that passes understanding, that will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus, if you choose to intentionally place yourself in that peaceful place. And that is something that God promised, like it's like one of the things he gives us. Like I feel like it is a huge gift. His presence is peaceful. I was talking to my husband the other day, and he was saying, you know, I have so much anxiety when I'm not in prayer. But when I'm in prayer, I always have peace. And I just thought, that's it. So if we can just constantly almost be reminding ourselves, keeping ourselves in like a constant conversation with the Lord, where peace is our true north, you know what I mean? It's like where we kind of always come back to. If that can be the direction of our heart, if we can continually bring ourselves before God, an expectation of his presence and a peace that passes understanding. You don't have to understand it. It doesn't have to make sense. And it doesn't mean that everything's going to work out just fine. But it means that you're not alone. It means that you are an unmovable force leaning on a powerful and solid presence to be your support.
That's beautiful. Thank you. Thanks so much for being vulnerable. It is a big thing to tell your personal story. But when people hear personal stories, they understand firstly that we're all in this together. We're all very similar to one another. And we have a God who really loves us and is faithful. So bless you. Praying for your church, your family. We love you guys over there. We look forward to the day when we may be able to get on a plane again.
Yes.
Visit each other. That will be great.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So love to everyone over there. And bless you, Tammy.
Love you. Thank you.
We hope you discovered something really great today. We're only a new podcast, so it would help us so much if you gave us a positive review and shared this podcast with your friends. Have a beautiful day, and we'll see you next episode.